Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, we're going to continue going through the book of Judges for this week. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6 this week, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the story of Gideon. So we're going to go ahead and get started here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of Yahweh came and sat underneath the terebinth tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Now, where we are at this time, we start this story off by reading how the Midianites are persecuting, you could say, Israel. They are stealing everything that Israel has. They're stealing their livestock. They are stealing their crops that they're growing. This is happening because Yahweh gave Midian the ability to overpower Israel because of Israel's disobedience. Israel at this moment has forsaken Yahweh's Torah. They are not walking in his ways. And we see later in the chapter that Gideon actually goes through the land and tears down the Asherah pole. So Israel had began to worship Baal and the Asherah poles again during this time period. And because of this, Yahweh allows Midian to overpower Israel. So they are pressing in on Israel. They're stealing of their cattle and they are stealing of their crops. So because of this, Gideon is hiding in a wine press, beating out wheat. So he is trying to prevent Midian, the Midianites, from seeing that he has wheat because they were stealing their crops. Ultimately, because they're stealing their crops, they're stealing their food. So Gideon is hiding while doing this, and they're experiencing this again because of their disobedience. But during this time period, and that's what the story of Gideon is about. So Israel has backslidden from Yahweh's Torah, from the law which he had given them. They are no longer worshiping him, but they're worshiping the gods of the land. So Yahweh finds a man that he is going to use to be a voice and to lead Israel out of this captivity, this persecution that they're feeling from Midian, and to bring them back to worshiping God, worshiping him, instead of worshiping the gods of the nation. So that's really what the call of Gideon is about. And it's the same with us as well. You know, we live in a dark world around us. The world around us is full of evil, of wickedness. They have no desire to walk in that which is righteous, that which is right. They seek after that which satisfies their flesh, and that which is pleasurable for the moment. And because of that, you also see people who get caught up in that. Even people who are so-called believers who will fall into the trap of walking according to that which is pleasing unto their flesh instead of walking in that which is righteous. And they end up serving the desires of their flesh instead of serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he raises up a man, you could say, in order to bring a revival or to bring people back unto him. You know, well, God's doing the same today. He's raising up Gideons. He's raising up those who can be a force, who can go out there and can do the work that he has called them to do in order to be a light in a dark world around them and to bring people back unto God, to bring people to forsake the gods of this world and to worship him. So now let's look at verse 12. "Now the angel of Yahweh appeared to him and said to him, 'Yahweh is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" So this is what the angel says unto Gideon. He says, "Yahweh is with you." And he calls him a mighty man of valor. A mighty man, this word here, is used most often as a term for someone who is a hunter, a soldier, or a hero. So when it's saying a mighty man, this is referring to like a soldier, a warrior, someone who would be called a hero. Okay, so the angel is calling Gideon a hero of valor, which also would be a mighty strength. So a hero of mighty strength. That is how Yahweh sees Gideon. And it's interesting, as we read on here in this passage, we're going to see that Gideon doesn't quite see himself the same way that Yahweh sees him. And that's something for us to think about as well. When he sees us, when God sees you, man or woman, he sees that mighty man or that mighty woman of valor. He sees a person who is a warrior for him and for his kingdom. Now, we fight for his kingdom in a different way than how we fight for a kingdom on this physical earth. We don't fight a physical war. We are fighting a spiritual war. And he sees us, those who are believers in him, those who have professed Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, who have been washed by his blood and have his spirit living in them. He sees you as a mighty man or woman of valor. He sees you as that warrior for his kingdom. And he gives us assignments, just as he gives Gideon an assignment. Gideon would go on to tear down those Asherah poles that were in the land. He gets rid of the temptation. He gets rid of the things that Israel is worshiping instead of worshiping their God. So after he leads Israel and gives them freedom from Midian, there is a spiritual awakening that happens in Israel as well. And it happened because somebody was willing to hear the call that God had for him, believe that call, and be obedient to what he was telling him to do. The key to being that mighty warrior for him is learning how to hear his voice and hear his instructions and his commands and follow his commandments on how he wants us to do it. Because remember, Gideon's army would be reduced to a very few number. And this was God showing Gideon that it wasn't about Gideon and Israel's ability to overcome Midian, but it was about God delivering them from Midian. So when he calls us to do something, it's not about our strength and our ability or our talents. It's about his ability, his power, and what he's capable of doing. And of course, he gives us his spirit in order to do that. We see that here in this verse. Yahweh is with you, so I am with you. You could even say, it is because Yahweh is with Gideon is the reason why he is that warrior or that hero, that mighty hero. It's because Yahweh is with him. The reason we're able to accomplish the things that he assigns unto us is because he is with us. He calls us to be that mighty man or woman of valor, and we can do it because his spirit is with us. He calls us that because he knows his spirit is living in us. And his spirit is greater than our enemy in this world. So he who lives in us is greater than what we face in this world. So if we could learn to believe that we have what it possesses to do great things for him, and to walk in his righteousness and to be that example to those around us and to call people unto him and to be the one who tears down the Asherah poles, to be the one who draws people unto the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's not because it's something that we physically have in our talents or ability, but it's because his spirit is with us. Gideon was successful in overtaking Midian because he was willing to be obedient to what God told him to do. And at first started by getting rid of the idols in the land. So our first task in becoming that mighty man is learning to identify those things in our lives that are not pleasing unto him, and allowing him, as we progress in our walk with him, to remove the things when he tells us to remove it. And then he would follow the commands that God gave him, instructions in how to go into battle and what to do. He listened to the strategic advice given to him from God. And it's the same with us. We need to be prayerful. We need to be meditating upon his word and hearing his voice and being willing to listen to his commands and his instructions as he guides us and instructs us down this journey and this path and what he has instructed us to do. Because we will be way more successful following his instructions and his commands on how he instructs us than trying to accomplish it on our own strength and power. Because it is by his spirit, it's not by our strength, it's not by our power, not by our might, but by his spirit. Let's look at verse 13 through 14. And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where were all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not Yahweh bring us up from Egypt? But now Yahweh has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And Yahweh turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?'" So upon hearing the instructions, Gideon kind of questions, how do you say you're with us when we see everything that is going on around us? And it is important to understand that the reason that things were going on around them was because of their disobedience. But God did not give up on Israel. He had not forsaken Israel. That is the very reason why he is calling unto Gideon. It's because he has not given up on Israel. He has not forsaken Israel. They are receiving discipline for the way they have behaved, but he has not forsaken them. And because of that, he's going to raise up a mighty warrior who is going to deliver them from their enemy. So it's important for us to understand we don't have to be perfect in order for Yahweh to be with us. Okay? He is slow and he is patient with us. He is long-suffering with us as we walk out our faith, as we learn to walk perfect before him. And he doesn't leave us and he doesn't forsake us. If we have a time where we rebel against him, he will bring his discipline. But even in his discipline, he does not forsake us. And he will send people unto us to speak into our lives so that we will turn from that is leading us into destruction. Israel was walking into that which would bring destruction unto them. And if that behavior continued, they would be vomited out of the land. So in his love, he brings his correction because he doesn't want them to see destruction. He wants them to see blessing. So he tells them, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" So Yahweh sends him out. And he says, "In the might of yours." He was given the might that was needed to do the task that was needed. And we have been sent into the world. And we go, we can say we go in our might, but our might is connected and tied to the fact that his spirit is in us. So because his spirit is in us and his spirit is moving, his spirit is empowering us, We are sent into the world to work by his Spirit. Let's look at verse 15. And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So Gideon doubts his ability to be that mighty warrior. He says, "How can I be the one who does it? I'm from the weakest clan, and I am the least in my father's house. I am the least important person in this nation. How am I going to be the one who saves Israel?" How many times do we disqualify ourselves from doing something because we think of what we've done in the past? We see where we have failed in the past. We see where we are failing now, where we missed the mark now. And we think, there's no way he could ever use me because I'm not perfect. This is wrong with me. We can be our harshest critics at times, and we see those things that we don't like, and we tend to allow those things to disqualify us when they don't. When he sees us as that mighty man or woman of value, but we see ourselves as a member of the weakest clan. And if we continue to hold on to the viewpoint of I'm just a member of the weakest clan, then we won't be able to accomplish what he has given us to accomplish. Gideon would eventually see through confirmation that Yahweh was with him, and that the word that was spoken to him, Yahweh would accomplish it. He would go to believe that he was that mighty man of valor and no longer a member of the weakest clan. Something we need to learn to see ourselves as that mighty man or woman of valor. That one who can be a warrior for his kingdom. That one who can tear down spiritual strongholds through prayer. Ones who can speak the good news of Yeshua and convict hearts. Because he has sent all of us into the world to make disciples. So we can be that hero. We can be that one who's on the front line, charging into this dark world, making disciples, if we can learn how to no longer see ourselves as the weakest clan, so no longer seeing our faults, our mistakes, what we've done in the past, and not disqualify ourselves, but to see ourselves as what he has called us, as that mighty man or woman of value, because he is with us. That is why he's able to call us a mighty man or woman of valor, because his Spirit is dwelling inside of us. Without his Spirit dwelling inside of us, then we are as a member of the weakest clan. Let's look at verse 16. And Yahweh said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." So Yahweh reassures him. He says, "I will be with you, and you will strike them as one man. Your victory will be so strong." That's what he's telling them, because I am with you. We can go into the world and make disciples because he is with us. And we can do it where it can seem at ease, because of his Spirit being with us. We can defeat this enemy on this earth because his Spirit is inside of us. We can win battles. We can win hearts over to Yeshua. We can raise up disciples because his Spirit is with us. Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So here is Yeshua telling us. He told the disciples he will give them another helper. He has given us another helper. His spirit will abide inside of us forever. So as we are sent out into the world, we are sent out knowing that his spirit is with us and that his spirit will not leave us nor forsake us, no matter where we go into the world to make disciples. His spirit is with us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Yeshua had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Yeshua says here, "I have all authority in heaven and earth." The one that we serve has all authority. So as we are sent out into the world, know that the one that we are fighting for, the one that we are with, the one whose commandments we are following has been given all authority in heaven and in earth. That is who we serve, and that is who is with us. So when he sends his spirit out with us, his spirit is coming, and his spirit is being sent by Yeshua, the one who has all authority. So as we go into the world to make disciples, go into the world knowing that your master has all authority in heaven and earth. So the one who sent you out has all authority. So if he has all authority, you can go into the world under his authority. And what has he instructed us to do? This is for every believer. All of us have been called to go out and make disciples of all nations. Okay, so we have been called to make disciples. To go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. So we are to go into the world, making disciples, teaching them the commandments. But what's important to understand is we're not teaching to obey the commandments without making sure first that they know about the redemption work of Yeshua. It starts by, yes, getting that convert, getting that person to repent of their sin, to recognize that Yeshua is the Son of the living God. He is our Messiah. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who died upon that cross for us, and by his blood there is a forgiveness of sins. And by belief in Yeshua, we can inherit eternal life. That is where it starts. You get that convert, but we've been told to make disciples as well. So upon the conversion, now we begin to teach them the commandments, that which we have been told to do. And as he said here in this verse, so go out into the world, make disciples, teaching them to observe my commandments, and behold, I am with you always. So as we go into the world to make disciples, he who has all authority in heaven and earth is with us. So just as Gideon defeated the Midians with a small army, when he sends us into the world to do his work, it doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be done by the most polished person. It's all about that person being willing to hear the call and be obedient. If you're willing to hear his call and be obedient, He will use you in a mighty way, and you will tear down the walls and make an impact on the God of this world's reign. And we will see more people entering into everlasting life. So look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. So then the Lord Yeshua, after he had spoken them, was taken up into heaven and set down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So here in this verse, we see that as they were sent out, we see that God is with them as they go out on their journey. And one of the things we see of how he worked with them and was with them is that he confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So what this is saying is that as the disciples went out to share the message that they had been told to share, signs followed as they preached the message. That is one of the ways that God was with them. So as we are called to go into the world, we can know that we're not going on our own, and it's not about how well of a speaker we are, how smart we are, how great and skillful we are with using his word, but it's about us just being willing to be obedient, to be submissive to the call, and allowing his spirit to work. His spirit can still accompany the preaching of his word today with signs, to show people that I am the true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what they are speaking, I confirm it. See, we have only been called to speak the good news. We have not been called to win conversion, because ultimately conviction lies upon the work of the Holy Spirit. We speak the word, but as we speak the word, his spirit moves in the heart and mind of the individual which we are speaking to. And the spirit is the one who tries to bring conviction in the hearts of men and women, who tries to get people to turn from their sin and embrace God's righteousness. That is the purpose of his Holy Spirit when it comes to spreading the good news. His Spirit's going to give us the power and the boldness to do the work, yes, but his Spirit is going to be the one who brings conviction, not how great of a teacher or persuader we are. It's about his Spirit. So I want to say the main takeaway I would say for today is, you know, we as believers have all been called to go into the world and to make disciples. Making disciples is not always done through the use of a stage and a microphone or a platform. Making disciples can simply be done through friendships, through relationships, by those you work with, by your neighbors, by getting to know them, by speaking with them, being able to speak of his word unto them, being that example unto them, and allowing his spirit to bring conviction. And when they turn from the world and embrace Yeshua, we need to continue that discipleship, teaching them the commands of Yahweh. And we cannot discredit ourselves because we think we're not a good enough speaker, or we think we're not good enough. We see the faults. We see the sin that is in our life. We see the mistakes that we have made in our past. If we choose to hold on to those things and to be a member of the weakest clan, then we will not accomplish the task he has assigned unto us. So as Gideon was told to tear down the gods of the land, We have been told to tear down the gods of this world and to speak of Yahweh's righteousness so that they will turn their hearts unto him and have a desire to serve him. And as we read in that one verse, if you love me, so if you're serving him, you're showing him your love. If you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we show him we love him? Through obedience. And let's see ourselves as Gideon learned to see himself. Gideon at one moment in time changed his mind from seeing himself as a member of the weakest clan to seeing himself as that mighty man of valor. So when are we going to learn to stop looking at our mistakes and our sin and see ourselves as that mighty man or woman of God? Because his spirit is with you. His spirit is longing and desiring to team up with you and to go into the world and quote unquote tear down the Asherah poles, to bring the hearts of men and women back to the heart of God. Well, I hope that this message has blessed you today. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week as we continue to explore through the book of Judges. We'll come back now, and shalom, y'all.